In the name of Jesus, amen. John wrote, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." This is our text. Nobody, not you, not me, not anyone likes to be told that they've sinned and they need to repent. The answer's simple. A person who needs to repent is a person who has done something wrong and has sinned. Now, we live in a culture that likes to kind of dumb down the word sin, to use words like this: an error, an innocent mistake, a lapse of judgment. But if you read through Scripture, the Bible never refers to, with the euphemism, to what is known as sin. It always counts it as S-I-N, sin, all the way through. But what is it? If you look at the Hebrew and the Greek, it translates that word sin as words of two categories. One is transgression. And it really means to step across or step over the line or to go beyond the boundary or a limit. Now imagine yourself, you're in Memorial Stadium, you're on the 50-yard line, that sideline is right in front of you, you can see it clearly. Now, if a player stays on the infield side, he's in bounds. If he crosses that line, he's out of bounds, no matter how far out of bounds. Unless you're from Pennsylvania back in 84, they were a good 2 foot out of bounds. But the reality is, a trespass is being out of the playing field. The other word that's often used is the word to miss the mark. It can also be used as a sporting terminology too. You can say that someone in soccer, they're having a free kick and they miss the goal or they miss the mark. How many points do you score if you miss the mark? You score none because you missed what you were aiming at. See, that's all fun and games so far. But Augustine began to define really what behaviors qualify for a trespass or a missing of the mark. And he uses this definition. It's a word, deed, or desire in opposition to the eternal law of God. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But those sins can take many different forms. They can be the deliberate, premeditated, thought-out sins, known as sins of commission, that we perform daily in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Or they can be the things we ought to do that we don't do, and so therefore they're known as sins of omission. If you're scratching your head right now, let me fill you in. A sin of commission would be, I go out in the parking lot and I steal your car. I did it, I committed it, I'm guilty. Unless you can't catch me. And then the sin of omission is, you're supposed to go to church, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, but I don't come. I'm not there. I should be. It's a sin of omission. You kind of follow me so far? But the reality of all that said, no matter what form our sin takes, it is upsetting to our Heavenly Father. Why? Because it separates you and me from Him. He can't have sin in His presence. But worse yet, our sins separate us from one another. And a sin that is left untreated calls for condemnation and ultimately eternal damnation. Pretty harsh, isn't it? Sins, trespasses, missing the mark, it doesn't matter what it looks like. God just simply doesn't like it. Unfortunately, in our culture, we begin accustomed to the words, wait a minute, God is a God of love, and so there will never be anyone that He sends to hell. Have you ever heard that before? Well, it's not true. But people who make that statement believe that God has no right to judge them for their behavior. In our society, it's become politically correct to demand that I have the right not to be offended. So no matter what I'm doing, you best keep your mouth shut, or I might have to go drink some hot chocolate and play with my crayons. After all, it's my life. And I'll live my life how I want to live it. and I don't need any interruptions from you. Now, some of the sacred sins in our society are easy. Homosexuality, abortion, same-sex marriage, and the list goes on and on. But believe you me, those may be the socially ones we struggle with, but it doesn't matter what you do. You gossip, you're guilty. It doesn't matter what your sin is. You murder someone, you're just the same as someone who shoplifts. Sin is serious. But because the average person has an aversion to repenting, because the average person wants no one to say, you have sinned against me, you need to repent before God. The fact of the matter is, within the pulpits of the Christian churches today, oftentimes it's thought they made the decision for the best of all to avoid talking about sin, repentance, and damnation altogether. After all, the offerings are better. And pastors have found that people in their parish and the pews like them better if they preach a message that refrains from accusations and allegations of sinful behavior. Am I right? You're probably saying it depends. If you're talking about my sins or somebody else's. If they're not mine, go right ahead. If they're my sins, please just shut up, pastor. Well, I came across the story of a congregation that had a young pastor in the pulpit. Fresh out of the seminary. He was a powerful preacher. And he was a straight shooting pastor that condemned sin and called sinners to repentance. But even so, there were some within his congregation, including those that were church officers, that were upset about the directness of his preaching and his condemnation. So one day, a delegation made an appointment and came to the office. The group gathered in the pastor's office, shutting their door behind them. That's always a bad thing. They looked at the pastor and says, "Pastor, you are a great guy. Always start out with a positive. But we would very much appreciate it if you would find a way to tone down your message just a bit. With all of this talk about sin, hell, repentance and remorse, contrition and confession, you're scaring the hell out of people. You, we don't think is anyone's best interest to be scared this way, Pastor." The pastor sat calmly listening to their conversation and taking in all that they had to say. And then when they were done, he says, "Would you excuse me just for a moment?" Being excused, he made a beeline for the custodial closet, grabbed a bottle of bleach, brought it back to the office and set it upon his desk. And he looked at the group in front of him and said this, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be glad to do as you suggest if you do me one favor. Almost all of you have a bottle like this at home in your house. What I want you to do is I want you to go home and soak off the label and the warnings that says that it's poison. Soak it off. And I want you to place in it's that location like the words apple juice. And make sure you put a label on with a picture of some flawless red apples. What do you think? Do we have a deal?" The delegation was a bit shocked at the directness of their pastor, and they said, "Pastor, how can you ask us to do such a thing? Our children or grandchildren might not check the bottle's contents, and they might just believe that the pretty picture and read the words and not read the words and drink it, and it could kill them." The pastor smiled and he says, "I agree with you 100%. But you see, that's exactly what you're asking me to do. To put a different label on the broken commandments which I preach about that God has commanded or condemned in the Bible. You want me to say God prefers you not to do these things, but when all is said and done, God is not going to get all that upset if you do what you want to do. Folks, in the same way, I can't relabel sin so that it goes down easier, and he didn't." If you read through the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of John, you hear Jesus use these words. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then later on, "But just as he called you to holiness, so be holy in all that you do, for it is written, be holy because the Lord your God is holy." Holy means to be without sin. Now, you and I already know that being holy or without sin is impossible for us. In fact, you and I can't even make it through a commercial without sinning. Like, why did they show that commercial? But the reality is we sin daily in thought, words, and deeds. And most of us can hardly go through a day without a thought of gossip on our minds. Or without scheming to undermine the authority of someone else. Or the curse of a curse word slips off my lips. Or perhaps wishing to seek the belongings of my neighbor because I think what he has is cool. Or choosing to skip worship. What about the sins of omission? What about the sins I commit and I'm not even aware of it because I haven't put two and two together in my life? Maybe we can stretch the truth a bit, but that, of course, is also a lie. God knows the depth of our problem. God knows that by our human nature, it does not want to admit our acts of disobedience. The fact of the matter is, look at Adam and Eve in the garden. He had broken a commandment of God, but he never took blame for it. God, it's your fault. God didn't wink at their little act of disobedience, say, you know, it's all right. I'm going to give you a mulligan on that one. After all, you've never seen what sin is before. No, God brought their broken commandment to their attention. Did you eat of the fruit I told you not to eat of? He delivered the punishment for their sins occurred. And then in an act of great love and grace, God spoke those beautiful words of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3. He was going to send forth this from the seed of the woman, a Savior. And when the sins of the world had begun to grow so unbearable, God selected Noah to speak words of condemnation for year after year after year. For many years he called his neighbors to repentance, but in the end there was only 8 souls in all that were saved from the flood. Throughout the Bible, God continued to send his prophets to the people to call them to repentance as they wandered from one sin to another. And he even called King David to repentance for his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. When John the Baptist arrived upon the scene in the first century, Matthew wrote this about him. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John told the people to bear fruit, live lives that show you are keeping with repentance. My dear friends in Christ, preaching repentance has never been popular. It's offensive. John found that out when he spoke against King Herod. Literally, Herod cut off his head to silence him forever. Jesus wants you and he wants me and all of his people to leave our sinful habits behind. Leave behind the life choices that miss the mark of who God has called you to be. He calls us to admit our mistakes and to literally repent, turn away from them. And the Bible is crystal clear that the wages of our sins is ultimately death. You know, Jesus promised that he would send his Holy Spirit after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And one of the responsibilities of his Holy Spirit is to convict our hearts of sin. Listen to what he says. When I go away, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, will come. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Do you ever wonder how a worm gets into the apple? Have you ever thought about that? Perhaps that worm burrows in from the outside, but no, scientists have proven that a bug lays an egg on the blossom. And as that apple begins to grow, there it is. And as that apple grows around it, the eggs laid inside of that apple blossom remain until somewhere along the line, that worm hatches in the heart of the apple, then it eats its way out. I tell you that because sin is like a worm. Sin begins in the heart and works its way out through a person's thoughts, his words, and his deeds. No, I don't know your sins, or your regrets. Our human nature is literally a slave to sin. Paul wrote, "The good I want to do, I do not do. But the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Does that sound familiar in your life? But I know that Jesus can erase both. I know the reason that Jesus came into the world is to save sinners like you and me. Jesus carried our sins, our broken commandments to the cross, and He left them there. Erased, forgiven, and renewed by God through faith in Jesus Christ. Dear friends, you are a new creation, forgiven and redeemed. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.